Well, again, good evening. I don't want to take up too much time. Again, we're blessed this weekend to have Paul Calley with us from Disciple Support Ministries. And since he was here, I asked him if he would stay over. And again, I think the Lord's in it because this gives us an opportunity, for those of you here this morning, as you heard, for him to continue to kind of flesh out the things that the Lord has put on his heart and that he spoke to us. And so we're going to allow Paul to continue to lead us in that and some more teaching and some prayer to apply that. And so, Paul, why don't you come up and lead us? Let's give a Calvary Knoxville welcome to Paul.
Who's making all that noise? Is that me? I don't do very good with technology. Technology for us is a chalkboard and a piece of chalk. How many of you tonight were not here last night or this morning? Anyone? You're just here for the first time? Okay, so just as a matter of background, we have a ministry in Kenya, a Bible school ministry to pastors in the slum areas, and I would encourage you to stop by our table on the way out. If you were here last night or this morning and you didn't stop by, I'm going to pray for you now. Because we need you to be praying, and I mean this sincerely. We especially need you praying for our teachers. You can only imagine the target that they are for the enemy. These are our men in the trenches, in those slums, teaching the word of God correctly. They've got a target on them that never goes away. And we've had more than a few of our teachers fall in sin. And so what holds them up is prayer. So please, get connected to what we're doing. Sign up for the newsletter. If you weren't here, you can get on the website, disciplesupport.org. Watch the video. This morning we went through largely Luke chapter 12. And in that, the Lord gave us four commands. Number one, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, first must be first. If first is second, then it's not first. Amen. Number two, he said, do not fear things to come. And we define that as things physical, material, and financial. We're not to fear those things. We are to fear God. Number three, he said, sell what you have and give alms. Wow. We're not exactly a culture that sells what we have. But that's what he said. And finally, he instructed us to prepare spiritually for what is coming practically. That's what the rich man had not done that. He had prepared, but not spiritually. And so, perhaps part of that message stirred something in you, and I don't like to leave things just hanging, but I will tell you this. I don't have answers for you. So some of you might just want to go home and say, oh, that was disappointing. I know who does have the answer. I know who has it. And usually the problem is we simply just don't ask. When I'm in East Africa, I've come to get used to a culture that everything that you do, before you do it, you pray. And I mean, you really pray. So there's no such thing as leaving the Bible school without praying. Why? Because on the way home, you very well may not make it. It's that kind of a life. Before you have your cup of tea, which is your meal until tonight, you would never think of putting that cup of tea to your lips without praying. Why? Because you thank God you had that cup of tea. And so prayer has become very important to me and my wife and my kids, and we've seen it move mountains, and I don't have any great insights into prayer other than it's a conversation with God, and we need to be in conversation with God, and we need to allow him to talk to us as much as we do just talk to him. It's really quite simple. We make it a little bit complicated. There's so many books on prayer. I don't know where to begin with books on prayer. It's better we just start praying. And the Holy Spirit will guide us. So I don't have any particular formula for you or any particular answers. What I'm suggesting is that perhaps the message today, some of you might feel stirred by the Holy Spirit that you need to confess something. There's been an element of conviction, and I join you in that because I'm teaching out of conviction. And for some of you, you might feel an urge to make a petition to God. You have a request. There's something about the things that are coming to us and the things that are happening in this world that you need to cry out to God and ask him something. God, I need this. I need your counsel. I need your direction. I need, as I would say, Lord, I need you to hit me with the 2x4 right between the eyes because I'm a dull man. Make it so clear to me, please. Perhaps some of you, in those brief passages we read today, are inclined to feel a need to praise God and just worship him for his majesty and that he is sovereign over all this. There is nothing coming that he has not measured and weighed and said, I've called you for such a time as this. Now, we praise him for that. Praise him that he's still on the throne. There's nothing on the news today that God says, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, what do we do now? And then finally, I know there's a few of you out there, you've got it all together. And I don't mean that sarcastically. You're mature in the faith. You've been through enough mountains and valleys that you're the kind of person that we all need to lean on and hear something from, but really, you're not shaken by any of this. You're just saying, amen, hallelujah, I get it. I'm with you. Jesus, I understand this. Well, for you, perhaps tonight you feel led to intercede. Intercede for the rest of us and intercede for this world. We are praying for a time of God's mercy upon the entire world, that he would withhold his hand of judgment just a little bit longer. And so what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to read a brief passage, and I talked to you about bringing this to application. The best application that I can give you is not an example from my life. The best application I can give you is from the life of people in this book. These are real people that have gone through real life. So I'll read a brief passage, and then I will just comment a little bit, and then I'm going to open in prayer. And if you feel led to pray after that, we're just opening it up to prayer. So just stand up, and someone will bring you a microphone. The reason we're giving you a microphone is because you're famous. No, that's not why. We're giving you a microphone because we want to be edified by what you feel led to pray. And it can be something just 2 words long, okay? Well, it could be something more profound than that. It doesn't matter. We're not here performing. This is not a performance. We're humbling ourselves before Almighty God saying, God, you stirred our hearts with your word today, and we have come and said, now, Lord, what shall I do? That's all. We're all on level ground here. We're all flesh and blood, and we need him. And he's very, very pleased that you're here. And if you don't pray out loud, that's okay too. Your presence is your prayer. But if you do pray, I would just ask you kindly, limit yourself to 2 minutes so that we can pass it to someone else and we can all be edified. And then I'll kind of bring it to a close and I'll move on to the next subject. So I'm going to read a passage. You don't need to turn your Bibles because I'm going to move around a bit. We're going to put it up on the screen, and I would prefer that you just listen and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and then we're going to pray. Before that, Lord, I'm going to ask you, Holy Spirit, to move profoundly in our hearts and minds right now and to lead us, because what we don't want to do, Holy Spirit, is engineer you right out of this. We don't want to do this by formula or method. So please take control and comfort us, counsel us, correct us, chastise us, lead us, and intercede for us. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. So you know the story about Martha and Mary. I don't need to read that story to you. You've read it before. Martha, very, very busy serving and doing kind of the right thing in the presence of Jesus and getting a little bit overwhelmed and asking Jesus, you know, what I'm doing all this serving. Why isn't my sister helping me? Let me read for you from Luke chapter 10. And I'm just going right to the key point here. Luke chapter 10, verse 41. Please listen carefully. Jesus answered and said to her this: Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. We can get caught up in incessant activity, and we think it's called service unto God. And actually, it's masking a fear of what's ahead. We're just busy. And we are avoiding the fear that is driving us. The better thing to do is to be still and know that He's God. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us the privilege to serve you and to be your hands and your heart and your feet amongst people in a very physical world. But we don't serve people as much as we serve you first and foremost. And sometimes we just get so busy serving, we become little martyrs, and we become, we idolize our service, and we're really avoiding allowing you to be the Lord of our life. We're actually operating out of fear of being still. You told us that Mary had chosen that better part, which will not be taken away. Lord, forgive us for how many times we have avoided just being still and listening to you. We can make an idol out of Bible study. We can make an idol out of serving. And we can just keep ourselves so occupied that we don't have to face the fears that are actually driving us. Help us, Lord. Mary did choose the better part, and some of us have not done that. Worried about many, many things, and we fail to sit at your feet and listen to you. Anybody feel led to pray, please just stand up and feel free to pray with us.
I pray that we would just learn to seek your love before we do anything else. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I want to thank you for this time that we get to spend together just in your presence, Lord, and hearing your words and letting it speak to our hearts. I just thank you for all of your abundant blessings, for the breath in our lungs and the beat of our hearts, and just for our fellowship, Lord. Thank you for what you did for us. Thank you so much for everything. Please speak to our hearts, Lord, and strengthen us as we go through the week and this month and for the rest of our lives, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this reminder that the pastor gave that you've told me over and over again, and just pray for all of us for this to be still and know that you are God. Thank you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Lord, please open our ears. Please open our hearts. Please open our minds to know you deeply. Lord, sometimes we just don't hear you, and we desire that, Lord. Please, God, by your Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you for this time. And we just want to intercede, Lord, for those who are prodigals, Lord. The time is so very short, and all that really matters, I think everybody in this room has a prodigal, Lord. Draw them back. Draw them into your kingdom so they will not have to be left behind and take the mark of the beast, Lord God. And we do pray for all the people, Lord, that are being martyred around the world, Lord God. Give them the strength to hold on, Lord Father. Comfort them. And whatever we have, you are all that matters. Till our dying breath, let none of us fall away, Lord God. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful morning.
Abba, we repent. We acknowledge, Lord, that we have been so focused on self with all the blessings that we have in this nation that we don't have a clue what it means to live in Christ, that Christ is great in us. And yet, Lord, you created us in your image, in every believer, everyone who says Jesus is Lord and I am born again of his spirit. There is this God DNA that equips us to do what he did. And we haven't scratched the surface because we don't know how to repent and be still. So, Lord, as we seek your face tonight, as you brought this precious brother to show us what's really happening in the world and what is necessary, God, I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit here at Calvary Knoxville in the name that is above every name.
Amen.
That, Lord, you will rattle our cages until we stop and shape up to who you are in us and what you are eager to do by the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. It's not us, but it's your presence and your power in each one of us that you will release, God, to be salvation to those that are lost, healing to those that are sick, releasing the power of the Spirit to cast out the demons that torment and keep even us, your people, sometimes from walking with you. So we're praying, Lord, for a miracle of grace that no one and nobody can do except you in us. Give us that courage. Give us that hope, that confidence, that strength, that wisdom to be still and know that you are God. But you are waiting for us, for you to be God in us in the world. We're not climbing, going on a platform. We're not writing a book. Just right where we live. Lord, where we are,
Amen.
That we will be an expression of your goodness, of your godness, of your presence, and of your power that no one can deny. And that, Lord, we will hasten your return. And that we can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come.
Amen. Sometimes we are fearful for future generations when it comes to things to come. We think about our children, we think about those that we might leave behind, and we worry about them growing up in a generation like this. Let me read from you from Numbers chapter 14. They were in the wilderness. And the spies had just come back from looking at the promised land, and some came back with a good report, but most did not. And the people chose to listen to the bad report rather than listen to the truth from Caleb and Joshua. And they began to worry about the future. And here's what they said. Numbers chapter 14, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if we had only died in the land of Egypt, or if we had only died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword so that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Blasphemous. For us to think that God has brought our children and our loved ones into this generation and he doesn't know what he's doing. He's called you to such a time as this. Those same children that they were worried about being killed by the giants in the promised land, those same children went into the promised land and killed those giants. We have an opportunity to pass on to our children and loved ones a testimony of faith, not fear. Dear God, have mercy on us for thinking that we are more wise and merciful than you, and that we had a better plan than you, and we know the way out. Forgive us for thinking that we're more merciful and caring and loving toward our children and loved ones than you are. And forgive us for the times, Lord, that we, as parents and leaders and those that people look to us, that we have reacted in fear while we profess words of faith. We've become hypocrites, and we've instilled a bad spirit, some of us, in our very children, and even in our spouses. Lord, have mercy. Let us not die in the wilderness. Let us instead enter into the promised land like Joshua and Caleb. If anyone's led to pray, please stand and please edify the body of Christ.
Wow. Heavenly Father, thank you. You're such a good Father. Once more, I pray your spirit over each and every one of us. Lord God, strengthen us, for you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of boldness and of power, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. I pray that the busyness would never overtake our lives, but instead that we would always seek your face first every single day. From the moment we wake up, Lord God, I pray over each and every one of us here that the very first thought that would come into our head would be, how do I glorify your name, my God? How do I seek to show your power and your glory to everyone I know, Lord? We thank you and we love you, God. It's in your name we pray.
Revelation 6. And when he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God, mm-hmm. and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had, should be completed also. So, Lord, we're asking that your timing is perfect. But those martyrs have been waiting a long time for that number to be complete. And we know in order for it to be complete that you have to allow the next and the next and the next to be killed. Mm. And maybe not here yet, but we know in the world that those numbers are increasing daily, if not hourly. So we pray for faith to be over fear, for all of us as we learn about and see what you are doing and allowing in our world, Lord. And we know and we agree with the martyrs crying out that that number would be complete soon. In Jesus' name.
Father, I come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, and I come before your throne of grace right now. How beautiful and lovely it is, the feet that bring good news, and how wonderful it is for your congregation to dwell together in unity. And Father, I pray over every person in this building that you'll break up the fallow ground in our hearts, Father God, that the word that's incorruptible will be received in deep, rich soil, that the enemy will not have any room to steal. But, Father, that your word will produce and multiply tenfold, 50-fold, 100-fold in our lives, Lord Jesus. Mm. Forgive us of our sins, Father. For a time and a purpose and a season, each person is here in this room. Lord God, let our lives be instruments of righteousness unto you. Mm. Let our lives be vessels, Father God. Let your anointing and your Holy Spirit flow through us. Let us lay aside the vanity of this life and this world, Father, and set our eyes upon you, because we know our help comes from, Father. And Amen. We're here for you and for your kingdom, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, break every bondage that's over every person in this room. Mm-hmm. By your anointing and by your balm and by your power. Amen. I ask this in your name.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
Father God, you know that I love you with all my heart, but I struggle with putting all my faith that you'll fix everything, and I've always been a fixer. I fix things. And so putting my faith in you has been for everything. I do, but I also try to fix it myself. And tonight you told me to come, and my husband couldn't, and I developed this fear of driving at night because I did have trouble driving at night before my surgery. Mm. But now it's just a fear. But you said, if you come, I will get you home safely. Mm. So I'm struggling a little bit, Lord, looking at how dark it's getting. But I know that you got this, and I know I got this. And so in your holy name, I pray, amen.
Amen. Let me continue Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, they're in the boat with Jesus, and the storms arise. It's one thing to think about Jesus being with you when everything is going fine and the waves aren't so big, but remember, these were fishermen, and when fishermen get scared about waves, you know it's pretty bad. If you've been a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Things can get wildly out of control very fast. And so, Mark chapter 4, please listen as I read, and verse 37, a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. That's pretty serious. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Can you do that? And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? If we could just imagine the audacity to accuse God of not caring. And believe me, I've done that. I've probably done it 3 times this week already. We seem to think that just because there's waves that he's not around. And we begin to question his character. God, are you even listening to me? Like, I've been praying on this for years. Don't you care? Don't you care? Well, they failed that test, and as you know, God is faithful that when you fail a test, he's going to give it to you again. He is the schoolmaster. He's the teacher. And so just a short time later, Mark chapter 6, I'm in verse 46. And when he had sent them away, Jesus departed to the mountain to pray. That's where Jesus is. He's on the mountain praying. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, that should impress you, not scare you. He was walking on the sea and would have passed by as if he didn't care. That's what they would think. No, my son, I'm going on before you. When they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. What does this have to do with the loaves? How many times does he need to show me before I'll start believing? You see, this the foundation of anxiety is doubt. I don't know if any of you are anxious. I'm prone to be an anxious person. And that's sinful, because I'm doubting him. He does care. And if he's passing by, it's because I'm falling behind. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you understand our frame is weak. But Lord, you do not dismiss our anxiety as just something to be sympathized with. You call us to be led by your Holy Spirit, that we are not under a spirit of fear of things to come. We are not under a spirit of fear. Well, we might be, but we should not be. We thank you. You've given us a sound mind. We thank you that you are available 24/7, 365 . Some of us, Lord, confess to you the anxiety in our heart, and it really, really ramps up at night. We get into that spiral. We just can't let go of it. And that's a work of the flesh and a work of the enemy, and we renounce it, and we ask you to rebuke it, and we ask you to set us free from that. It's not going to come from a pharmaceutical company. It's going to come by the Spirit of God. Please, Lord, you've given us a sound mind. Now we ask for healing, and we ask for right thinking according to your truth. You do care, and nothing will ever separate us from your love. Please, if you feel led to pray, please stand.
Father, Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit, I lift up to the minds, the mind condition of your people, especially in this nation, in this world, the silent but deadly disease of unbelief. My God, the gravest thing to not believe you, but that is what hardens us. As I listen to the people mentioned in your word tonight, Martha and Mary, religion versus true spirituality, and the quiet difference between the two, Caleb and Joshua versus the rest of the Israelites, entering in through faith, but those who perished were in unbelief. And our hearts hardened. So I ask for a mighty dealing of your hand and the power of the Holy Spirit over the minds of your bride, the professed believers of Jesus Christ, that you would come and break up that unbelief that leads us to hypocrisy and religion in the power of the flesh and is the counterfeit, and that you would teach us personally, Lord, true spirituality by your Holy Spirit indwelling us, your indwelling Holy Spirit, your teacher that leads us and guides us into all truth as we sit like Mary at your feet and Amen. Let you teach us,
Amen.
Correct us, rebuke us, and train us in righteousness. Mm. And then we will be shining brightly like the stars in this world, in this nation, and the power of your Holy Spirit can flow through your people. I ask for a mighty dealing with our minds. Mm. And by that, I know you will send tribulations, hard things to challenge us, because those tribulations are the very things of testing us that reveal the very condition of our hearts, our minds. You reveal to us where we don't believe you, and you grant us an opportunity for true repentance and faith. Lord, so I ask for a mighty blowing of your Holy Spirit upon your people. Mm. Open our eyes to understand the difference between the counterfeit and the authentic, and true repentance, metanoia, a changing of the mind, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Rewrite our minds according to your grace and Holy Spirit. Write your law on our minds and hearts, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you. And we thank you for your word, Lord, for your word that we just read. And Father, we ask you would give us understanding of the loaves and fishes, Lord, of your provision, Lord, that you are the God who multiplies, Lord, and that you do not need anything from us, Lord, but that you are the one who provides. You are the one who has all resources, Lord. Please give us an understanding of your character. Give us an understanding of your love for us as our Father, so that we would not be afraid. Lord, you know that we live in a generation around us, Lord, a world that feeds on fear. And so, Father, we ask that you would give us the right understanding of your character, Lord, that we would not question you, but that we would entrust ourselves to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, just thank you for today, and just that your way is better, God, and that we can be confident in you and trust in you, Lord, and Lord, that really there's no alternative to you. We know we're on the right path, and just calm our hearts and minds with that. In Jesus' name, amen.
My brother here, please.
Lord, I pray for that you will speak to us in this message, and that you will fill our hearts with your joy, and that we won't be tempted to what the devil says to us, and that we'll cling on to your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Reading from Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Amen. Amen.
For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bare and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it forth.
Amen.
Lord, I just want to thank you for finally providing an answer to my family for all the questions that we've asked. And I just want to say that he will answer, even if it seems like it's taking an eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let me continue, please. We've talked about incessant activity, perhaps being a way of masking fear and not being still before the Lord. We talked also about anxiety. Anxiety for ourselves, anxiety for our children, and what is coming. We talked about accusing God of not caring and not listening, not quite understanding and not being on time. I want to share about one more thing, which is we find in the life of David. David, the young boy who grew into the king and had a heart for God. At the end of his life, began to rely upon things he could see instead of the one we cannot see. 2 Samuel 24, he's speaking to the commander of his army, Joab, and David says, "So the king David said to Joab, the commander of the army who was with him, 'I want you to go throughout all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and count the people, that I may know the number of my people.'" Some of us have been spending a lot of time counting. And Joab said to King David, "Now may the Lord your God add to the people 100 times more than they are, and may the eyes of my lord the king see them. But why does the king desire this thing? David, why would you go out and count things as if your strength is in things? Does it matter if you have one or you have 1 million when you have God?" But David insisted to continue on that way of faithless fear. And they counted. Verse 10, "And David's heart was condemned after he had numbered the people." You see, he received that conviction as soon as he had done it. And he said, "I have sinned to the Lord. I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." Well, thank God for the gift of repentance. But if we've truly repented, it includes accepting the consequences of our sin. And there were severe consequences for this sin. 75,000 men were struck dead. My friends, we don't put our trust in horses and chariots. We put our trust in the Lord. You can stop checking on your 401k. You can stop stocking up toilet paper. Oh, I'm sorry, that was 2020. Whatever the current trend is, maybe it's baby formula. I don't know. And I'm not being glib, I'm just being straight to the point, because it's very practical where we trip up. We trip up on the practical things. We can talk about theology, we can open the Word of God all day long, but when it comes to tomorrow morning, you'll have very real decisions to make. And that's where we stumble. David repented. There were severe consequences upon the nation. And then David said something very profound after this that I want you to listen to. Because of this sin, he came to the realization that God works in a different way than he was imagining. He went out, David went out, and he bought the threshing floor that would become the ground for the first temple. Do you remember that? That happened next. Same chapter in the Bible. And he said this, because the man said, go ahead, king, take the land. Then King David said to Arunah, no, but I will surely buy from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. It's going to cost me something to obey Christ. It will cost my flesh. It may disturb my spirit. It may affect my wallet. It may tear my heart apart. It's a very real battle, and it's a very real cost. We've been bought for a price. But we've also been bought for a purpose. It's not enough to say, I've given my life and I surrender all. And then God comes knocking and says, and now is the time to show me that you did surrender all. I don't need what you surrendered, but you said that you did. I'm either Lord or I'm not. And so when it's time to pay a price for obedience, know this, you already have the grace to do that, because God's grace is already there. It's all sufficient. We just need to pick it up and use it. Let's pray. Lord, let us not be fearful of paying the cost of obedience. That cost could be a difficult conversation, one that breaks a relationship on this earth. It could be the loss of a job. It could be ridicule and mocking and slander against us. It could be persecution. And it very well might be coming much sooner than we imagine. We don't even need to ask you to help us to pay the cost, because your grace is already there. What we're asking tonight is, Holy Spirit, give us remembrance. You're sovereign. You've put into our hands everything we need to escape every temptation of this life. And let us walk with you on the straight and narrow path. Lord, as we bring this time of prayer to a close, we ask you to bless everyone in this room, every family represented here, every ministry, and every person who's not here that we wish was here. And we want to leave tonight, Lord, on your altar, our Isaac, that thing that we cherish, that we're holding on so closely, we dare not let it go for fear that you might do something that we're not in agreement with. Now, Lord, some of us are holding on to fear. Some of us are holding on to relationships. Some of us are holding on to things of this world. Some of us are holding on to religion. We want to put all that on the altar now, Lord, and leave it there and walk out free, free, free indeed. We love you, Lord. We came tonight because we love you. We didn't come tonight because we're perfect. We came because you're perfect. Forgive us for misunderstanding your love and misrepresenting you, for putting you in a box. Lord, you're way beyond anything we ever think of you. You're beyond that. You are bigger. You're more perfect. You're infinite. You're beyond our theology. You're beyond our comprehension in every good and holy and perfect way. And we bow tonight to you and say, be my God. And tomorrow when we wake up, be our God one moment at a time, like you are for the pastors of the least. We pray all this in your name and according to your will, Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen.